Have a blessed opportunity to gather together as perhaps families and have the word of God before us and consider a passage of scripture and would speak of things and meditate upon things that the Spirit would lead us to. And so as we would begin, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Thou who art in all places, in all time, we come to Thee because Thou art the source of eternal truth, the source of all power. We know that, Lord, there is no God like unto Thee, and so we trust in Thee explicitly. Father, there is nothing that Thou cannot do, and so we give Thee the honor and give Thee the glory and give Thee the praise. Father, we know that Thou dost receive adoration in Thy heavens above, and we, Lord, as mortal beings, Father, would give unto Thee our adoration likewise, and we would praise Thee, and we would bless Thy name, Father, as much as is within us. And so, Father, we would also thank Thee. Thank Thee for all Thy provision. Thank Thee, Lord, for who Thou art and the love that Thou dost have for us and the comfort and the peace that we can enjoy as we serve Thee and as we come to know Thee more and more through Thy Word and through Thy Scriptures. And so, Father, we would just pray. Help us each and every one. Help us as we live out our lives in whatever fashion or whatever circumstance of life it might be, Lord, that we would live out our lives in a pleasing way unto Thee. Lord, that we would live in the Spirit, that we would allow that fruit of the Spirit to come forth, that we would abide in the vine of Jesus Christ, doing His blessed will, Lord, and receiving this richness of life that we can have in Thee. And so, Father, we would pray for our congregation, Lord, that Thou wouldst provide for each and every one. Lord, we know that we live in interesting times, Father, but we know that Thou art ever present and Thou art able to work in each and every heart. And so we would just pray for each and every one that attends our church, Father, that Thou wouldst bless them and that Thou wouldst provide for them richly. Father, our thoughts and our minds go to the Fetzer family as they lay to rest their mother. Father, we would pray Thee that Thou wouldst provide comfort for them as well, as only Thou canst do, Father. And so we just look to Thee now that Thou wouldst bless this word as it would go forth. Be Thou magnified, be Thou glorified, and may the believer be strengthened in his faith, and may those who know Thee not be drawn to Thee. Lord, may they recognize that now is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time, now is the time to turn their hearts to Thee in repentance, in conversion, walking in newness of life, in baptism. Father, that their names too may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These things we do ask and pray in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture that has come to me that I would like to share with you is found in Philippians chapter number 4, the first 13 verses. Philippians chapter 4, the first 13 verses. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A beautiful passage of Scripture that the Bible here says that Paul and Timothy had, as servants of Jesus Christ, had written unto those that were in Philippi. And we can see that it's very evident that they have a great compassion for the believers here in Philippi. If we look back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we see that Paul, Luke, Silas, and perhaps others that were with them, they had come to Philippi, and as they arrived there, they met Lydia, and she was on the riverbanks, and she was praying, and they prayed with her. And then there was that damsel that was possessed with the spirit of divination and brought her masters much wealth through that process that they had there, that market with her spirit. And the Apostle Paul had cast out that spirit out of her, and the master saw that their gains were now going to be lost. And they had laid many stripes on the Apostle Paul and Silas, and they had cast them into prison. And there was the jailer there that was converted after the after they were loosed of their bonds. And we see all these things happened here in Philippi, and truly there were events that were very difficult for Paul and Luke and Silas to bear. The being beaten with many stripes. The Apostle Paul referenced in his book to the Thessalonians that they were shamefully entreated at Philippi. But yet it wasn't on these things that the Apostle Paul was focused upon as he wrote this book to the Philippians. There were unfortunate events and very difficult events, events that happened to them that were anxious-producing, anxiety-producing. But that's not what he focused on. He focused on serving the Lord and encouraging the brethren there in Philippi that they would remain strong in the Lord. And so we'll consider some of these verses here, but perhaps the prevailing thought that I'm led by the Spirit to share is that our thoughts would be centered on the Lord, as it was for the Apostle Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy, who was with them, that their thoughts were continually focused on the Lord. So likewise should our thoughts be continually focused on the Lord, so that when there are anxiety-producing events happening in our lives, whatever they may be, that we would be focused on the Lord and that we would have a peace about that, just as it was for the Apostle Paul. And so here in the first verse, one thing is very clear is that the Apostle Paul had a passion of an endearing love for those in Philippi. He speaks to them and saying, "My brethren, dearly beloved." And then again, he references them, he says, as my dearly beloved. He says, stand fast in the Lord. It's his encouragement. And there's miscellaneous encouragements here in these few verses that we've read. He's writing to them, and perhaps it's written, as the Bible says here, that from Rome, that perhaps he's even in prison. But he's giving them exhortations, miscellaneous exhortations. And here in the first verse, he's expressing to them his great love for them, and he's telling them, stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved. There might be anxiety-producing events in your lives, just as there was for us when we were in jail and we were smitten with many stripes. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved by any of this. That was his exhortation to them. He beseeches Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Certainly, perhaps these individuals had differences of thought, but they could be in the same mind in the Lord. And that's what was important, that they be in the same mind of the Lord, that God would receive the glory in all things, that he would be magnified, that others would be edified, others would be drawn to Jesus Christ by having that same mind in the Lord. He also entreats them, the Philippians, that they would help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. What a beautiful thought that Clement and others here, their names are written in the books of life. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers here in Philippi that they would be helpers of them, that they would lend a hand, that they would come up alongside and do their part and bring further the kingdom of God, that they would do the bidding of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be a part in this labor. And then he exhorts them always to rejoice in the Lord always, to rejoice, to be thankful, to have this sense of a euphoria that no one can take away, that we rejoice, but it's a rejoicing in the Lord, and it's an always rejoicing in the Lord, that those anxiety-producing events would not diminish any of that, that we could rejoice in the Lord always through whatever circumstances come our way. We rejoice in him because with him all things are possible. And so he's telling them, rejoice. Another miscellaneous exhortation he gives to them. Then he also tells them, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's speaking to them to have a quiet repose about themselves, this moderation, and not to be of extreme, either way, not to the left or to the right, or to be fully persuaded of one's own thoughts. But he's saying, let your moderation be known unto all men, both believers, unbelievers, young, old, that we would have a calmness and a quietness away from extremes, and knowing that the Lord is at hand in all things. The Lord is present. The Lord is present in all places and in all time. The Lord was present with them. And because the Lord is present with them, they can rejoice in the Lord, and they can have moderation in all things. That they would stay away from those things which would not glorify the Lord. And then he says, be careful for nothing. Another exhortation here for them. Don't be anxious about anything, he's saying. Don't be careful about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is what he's telling them to do. He's telling them, bring your prayers. Bring your prayers to the Lord. And bring them with a purpose of thanksgiving. May that be the overarching theme of your prayer. Is thanksgiving. Be thankful for everything that has come. And then let your request be made known unto God, to him who can do all things. And he says, and when you bring your prayers with thanksgiving to the Lord, he says that the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace of God, something we long for and we relish, and we know that when we have this peace of God, that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. The peace of God is possesses our hearts. It keeps us. It keeps us from anxiousness. It keeps us from care. It keeps us from worry. It keeps us from depression. It keeps us from the things that Satan wants to bring in our lives. This is the peace of God. But when we bring our prayers with thanksgiving to the Lord, he will keep our hearts and minds. And this is what we want to have with us all the time, that our minds would be kept in the peace of God. Last Sunday, Brother Louis shared of having the mind of Christ. And here he's saying again that the Lord wants to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And that can happen when we bend the knee before him, when we come before him with thanksgiving for everything that he has done in our lives, for the challenges, for the blessings, for the learning experiences, for the joys, for events in our lives. When we bring it all to Him in prayer with thanksgiving, His peace shall possess our souls. And then we get to the point where verse number 8 speaks of having our minds focused and thinking on specific things. And so he's telling them, finally, brethren, he's giving them this final exhortation. And he's telling them the things that they need to think on. Our minds should be stayed on the Lord, as the Apostle Paul here is exhorting. Our minds should be stayed on Him because we serve an omnipotent God who can do everything. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in a powerful source that's here upon this earth. We trust in an omnipotent God who can do everything. We know it's the Lord that owns everything. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is the God we serve. And when we consider that, that gives us peace. In the Psalms, it says that for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He owns it all. Everything of the earth, and it's all His. He is the possessor of it all. And again, we serve an omnipotent God, one who can do everything. The Bible says that nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. He can do all things. He spoke the galaxies into place. He did that which was on the macro level, that those great things. He spoke the stars and the galaxies and all creation into place. And then He also operates on the micro scale as well. And He forms each and every snowflake uniquely. God does these things. The Lord can do all things. And so when we come to Him in prayer and we bring our supplication before Him with thanksgiving, His peace will be upon us. And when we keep our minds focused on Him, that peace will remain with us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us many promises, and often for me, the first promise that Jesus Christ gave unto us is that all power is given unto Him, and then in conjunction with that power that's given unto Him, He says that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so there's a promise from Jesus Christ that for me, I claim often in my mind, that Jesus Christ is with me always, even until the end of the world. Jesus Christ will never leave us. So that's a first faithful promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to mind. But I'd also like to share other faithful promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John's Gospel, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me shall I in no wise cast out." If we've repented of our sins, if we've been converted, if we've been baptized, if we walk in newness of life, if we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His grace, then He will in no wise cast us out. That's a promise of Jesus Christ. He cannot do it. He will never do it. He will not cast us out. We will forever be with Jesus when we walk in the way that He would have us to walk. That's a faithful promise of His. And our mind needs to be stayed on that He will in no wise cast us out. When an event comes in our lives that's anxiety-producing, we can think, Jesus says, I will in no wise cast you out. Another promise of Jesus Christ is that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. A beautiful promise. No man can bind us. They can place burdens on us, but no man can bind us. We will be free indeed in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, fear not him that is able to kill the body, but not the soul. And so we ought not to fear man, whatever man may bring about. We have no more dread of condemnation. We're free indeed in Jesus Christ. a faithful promise of Jesus, and that can make us to have peace in our hearts, no matter what may be transpiring round about us. It's very important what we occupy our thoughts with. The Bible speaks of that, and here in verse number 8, it's speaking of that as well, that it's very important what we occupy our thoughts with. If we occupy our thoughts with the omnipotent God and the faithful promises of Jesus Christ, his peace, which the world cannot receive, which the world doesn't know, and the world cannot give, that peace will envelop our lives, will fill our hearts, and we will be blessed with that. Our thoughts are important because our thoughts then become words, and then our words become actions, and our actions then become habits, and our habits then become a character, and then that character is led to a specific destiny. And it all goes back to what thoughts we are occupying our mind with. Is it the mind of Christ? Is it upon the spiritual things? Or is it on earthly matters? The previous chapter in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul warns against worldliness. And he says in verse number 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Their mind is on earthly things. Our mind ought to be on that which is heavenly. And so we ought to guard our thoughts, because they ultimately lead to a destiny. Proverbs says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As we think in our hearts, as that which we are pondering on, that's who we become. Heavenly minded or earthly minded? About ourselves or about Jesus Christ? "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And obviously a beautiful verse that's found in Isaiah that speaks of the importance of our thoughts says that "thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When our mind is stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in God sending him here below, when our mind is stayed on that, we will be kept in perfect peace, a promise of the Bible, that which is true, a promise of the Bible that we will be kept in perfect peace when our mind is focused and stayed upon the Lord and upon his word. For Psalms it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The law often has a negative connotation to it, but here it's speaking of simply the word of God, the life-giving word of God, that we would be focused on that we would meditate upon his word day and night, and that as we are meditating upon his word day and night, we are delighting in that. We delight in him, and his perfect peace will again fill our hearts. We're often tempted to place the focus of our minds on things that don't pertain unto the Lord. That's a temptation that we go through not only every day, but moment by moment, that we would focus upon things of this world, things of this life, as if that has a great importance. It doesn't. What has great importance is that which is found in God's Word, that which pertains to eternity. That has great importance. And so our thoughts ought to be centered on the Lord and not on earthly matters. Peter was able to walk on water until his sights, until his thoughts went to the waves round about him. When he saw, and he was thinking about the anxiety-producing waves that were round about him, he began to lose fear, or he began to lose faith, and fear came into his heart. And he began to sink. Our thoughts ought to be stayed on the Lord. When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water, he was looking to the Lord. Likewise, we need to be looking to the Lord, that we would meditate upon his law day and night, and that we would trust in him and let his perfect peace fill our hearts. And so here, let's consider these thoughts here in verse number 8. So he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what is it that's true? Is it not God's word? You know, we see so much in the media. We read the news articles and we see so much, and fake news has become a term that's been used significantly. In years, decades past, it was propaganda. But we see so much of untruths being shared. But God's word is true. So if we focus on that which is coming out of the media, our hearts begin to become anxious. But when we focus upon that which is true, as the Bible here is exhorting us to think on these things, of those things which are true, that's God's word. We delight in his word. We trust in him. We know that he is omnipotent. We know that we have faithful promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will in no wise cast us out, and that we are free indeed. And when we keep our minds focused upon that which is true, God's word, that which is accurate, that which is in accordance with fact, then our minds will be, then our minds and our hearts will be filled with peace. Jesus Christ is coming again. That is true. And for us that are ready, that gives us great joy. We look forward to that with great anticipation. Come soon, Lord Jesus, we pray. And so that's true, that Jesus Christ is coming again. We can keep our minds focused upon that. The Bible here also says to whatsoever things are honest, to think on these things. Honest. That we would have a sincere heart. That we would come before the Lord and say, Lord, I live in a fallen world and in the flesh. Give me much grace. I need grace moment by moment. I need grace every day. Because I'm a spiritual being, a heavenly being, having an earthly experience. And so as we live in this fallen world, let's be honest. Come before the Lord with a genuine feeling and be sincere in our hearts and ask for his guidance and his grace and his strength and his wisdom day by day. He's saying whatsoever things are just. When we think of the atrocities in this world, things that happen that just aren't fair, it's just not right. Let's remember what God's word says. God will give to every man according to their deeds. That's a promise in the word. That will happen. And so we can just think upon that which is just, that God will give to every man according to their deeds. And the Bible also says that, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know, there are those often throughout the history of this world that have received a lot of favor. Think of Herod as he spoke and gave an oration that the people said, "Oh, this is the voice of a god, not of a man," and they gave him great admiration. But the angel of the Lord smote him, and worms ate his body. There were others throughout history that were regarded as great men, but they were evil. They killed millions of people, but they were regarded as great men. Our thoughts can simply be that he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And so we can keep that in mind as well, having these just thoughts. The Bible also here is saying that we ought to think upon those things which are pure. What is pure, and what could be more pure than God's love? His love for us. That God cared so much for us that while we were yet sinners, God sent his only begotten Son to die upon a cross that we might be saved. This is something that's not mixed, not adulterated with any other substance or material. This is God's love in purity. And then as we experience God's love, we share that love as well. And that gives a pure heart to such an individual, the heart of one who loves the brethren, who has a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. That's purity, having a pure heart. Just as the Apostle Paul here in verse number 1, how his love for the brethren was very clear as he addresses them twice in one verse as dearly beloved. That's purity. And that example leads us to desire to emulate that as well, that we would have purity of heart, that we would love the brethren, have a good conscience, and have faith unfeigned, trusting in the Lord, and having that pure example. Then he says, to think upon those things which are lovely. When we consider and look out at nature round about us, when we see what God has done, what he has created, when we see something like a beautiful waterfall, and just take a significant amount of time just beholding it and thinking about what God has done here, how that lifts us up, how we see something so lovely, so exquisitely beautiful, so attractive, when we see mountains, or when we see the vastness of the ocean, or a tropical island, and when we see the plant life and the animal life that God has created, the birds of the air and their variety, and fish of the sea and their variety, and mammals and their variety, and all these things that God has created, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. What a beautiful sight it is to see wild horses running through a field. God has created all of that, and he gave us that to enjoy. These are lovely things that God has given unto us that we would think upon, that our minds would be occupied by this. And then we think of all these beautiful things that we can see and experience, that the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So as beautiful as the things around us that we see here upon earth, heaven is going to be much more beautiful. These are lovely things that we can occupy our minds with, and as we occupy our minds with, the anxieties of the life dissipate, and we are filled with his perfect peace. The Bible says here, to think upon those things which are of good report. We think of characters in the Bible that had good report. We think of Daniel. We think of Job. They had a quality reputation. They did that which was good. And then we can see that God has been faithful. God gave to Daniel an excellent spirit. God was with Job. In all these things, the Bible says that Job didn't charge God foolishly. Job was a man with great integrity. He eschewed evil. But you know, the Bible says here, we read it in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So just as power was given to Daniel and Job in their ability to stand fast before the Lord and be of good report, that God has given unto us the ability through Christ to give us strength, that we could be of good report as well. So may that be a comfort, and may that be something that we think upon. Then the Bible here also continues on in verse number 8, saying to think upon those things that would have virtue. And so we think of Joseph and the fidelity that he had, that when Potiphar's wife tempted him and pressed him hard, that the Bible simply says that he got him out. Joseph fled from there. He had integrity. He had high moral standards. And again, if we can do all things through Christ, likewise, his Spirit will work through us, that we can do that which would be good and virtuous, and that we would encourage each other, just as the Apostle Paul here in this chapter is encouraging the brethren at Philippi, that they would support and help and labor together with each other, that they would be careful for nothing. All of this has been given unto us. And perhaps another lovely thought that comes to mind also is in verse number 19, which we did not read, but the Bible here says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's truly a lovely thought. God's going to supply our every need, a promise of his. He will supply our every need according to his riches, the riches of God, not inexhaustible rich, but in richness, but an inexhaustible richness. In glory by Christ Jesus. That is a lovely thought that we could take with us as well. And then he finishes this verse in verse number 8 by saying that we should think upon those things that if there be any praise. Adoration. Giving the Lord the glory that's due unto his name. That as we come before him, that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. And we think that in heaven there are four beasts, 24 elders, and multitude of angels that are amazingly praising God continuously. When we consider that, and when we think upon that, that just gives us great joy, and that we can rejoice in the Lord always, that we will be a part of that throng, and we will be there forever and forever. We are part of an everlasting kingdom. And so we think of these things. We think on these things that when we have events in our lives that come, whatever they may be, that as they would produce anxiety, that we would think upon these things. And as we think upon these things, we will be kept in perfect peace. As we live out our lives, things come our way. Most of them we didn't ask for. Most of them were brought upon us by events that simply we don't find ourselves in control of. And likewise, we see today we have so little control. We know that God is in full control, but we can control so little of our own. But ours is to be a faithful believer and trusting in the Lord in all things. And so as we go through life and things come our way, may our minds be focused upon him and think that this too shall pass and something else will come. And yet during that next event, whatever it might be, that again we can still have our thoughts centered on the omnipotence of God, knowing that he owns everything, upon the faithful promises of Jesus Christ, and knowing the importance of our thoughts, that they be centered upon the Lord. And so I'd like to share a song that's in the gospel hymns. The song is entitled, "Each Step I Take." Second verse goes like this: "At times I feel my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me. To higher ground he ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home." Can that be our continual thought? Can we ponder on this continuously? That with each step, he's bringing us closer home, where we will be with him forever. The psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So may it be that whatever we are going through, that our meditation would be upon the Lord and the things that are written in his word. May God bless that meditation of his word. And I'd like to conclude by reading a song in the Zion's harp, Hymn number 329, read the first four verses. Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim with grateful songs all to all wherever I may be, what great things God hath done for me. Oh, that my voice might send thy glory far as the bright and distant sun. My blood run warm with rapture for thee until my earthly life is done. My every pulse beat for thy praise, my every breath thanksgiving raise. O Father, endless praise I render, for soul and body all I have. I praise thee, Counselor kind and tender, for all that thy love to me gave. For all within this world so wide, thou for my welfare dost provide. All praise to thee, my faithful Savior, for all the mercy thou hast shown. Thou didst bestow upon me thy favor, thy death for my sins did atone. From bondage thou dost make me free, and now, Lord, I belong to thee. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Looking forward to seeing everyone next Sunday. Thank you.